This primary season marks the advent of presidential super PACs, funding groups that can raise unlimited funds and advertise in support of a candidate so long as it's not coordinating with the candidate's campaign. Sheldon Adelson has acknowledged giving millions to a super PAC that supports Newt Gingrich. John Huntsman Sr. is reported to have supported the super PAC that backed his son. And Foster Fries, whom we're going to hear from now, is the main benefactor of a super PAC called the Red, White, and Blue Fund, which has bought advertising on behalf of former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum. Mr. Fries joins us from Scottsdale, Arizona. Welcome to the program.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, Robert. It's a nice sunny day here, and I hope you're enjoying a good weather day as well.
not as good weather as you're getting. Here's the big question about super PACs. Should billionaires have the ability to single-handedly, if need be, keep a presidential campaign afloat?
It's interesting, hardly any people raised these questions back when George Soros put in $20 million and Peter Lewis put in $14 million to bring down George Bush. I think you also want to make a point that CNN, for example, is a corporation. So when they put on a TV show, which maybe could show favoritism towards a given candidate or against a given candidate, that certainly could be considered as a political contribution as well in terms of millions and millions and millions of dollars of the media that goes out.
Mr. Fries, do you really see no difference between contributions to a super PAC and paying for coverage of the presidential race at CNN or MSNBC, Fox News, or NPR?
Yeah, I see it as very similar. And for instance, if CNN does a program or you do a program, National Public Radio, which could reflect your particular favoritism towards a given candidate, you, National Public Radio, is a corporation. So to give me a chance to compete with you, I think is a very good thing.
I'll set aside your characterization. I don't think that would describe any NPR program I can think of. But as an individual, don't I have the same freedom of speech that you have? And why should you have 1,000 times more ability to express yourself than I have?
Well, if you look at how that plays out, Meg Whitman certainly didn't seem that made a lot of difference, did it? You know, the Senate is controlled by Democrats, the White House controlled by the Democrats. We barely have the House. So it looks like we, who could be considered wealthy, are at a distinct disadvantage when we are competing against all the money from the Service Employees International Union and from all the money where Barack Obama, I think he's going to have about $1 billion. And
well, we do know that all candidates need money when they run for office. Money is obviously important to them. Is it fair to require people to disclose who's backing them and who's backing the groups that back them? So that, and that could include unions, it could include millionaires, it could include people who give $100. But is it reasonable to say, I'd like to know if there's a candidate in the race who has this super PAC that's essentially laundering his allowance, that I should know that? That's who's keeping him in the race.
If the way that we can make our whole system more honest and straightforward is that you or I could give whatever amounts we want directly to the campaign, then you don't get this whole notion, well, I can't control the people that put up ads for me. And I think that's the fairest way. And so I think you and I would be joined at the hip on that proposal. I think letting
I'm not making that proposal, but I'm saying it's often advocated that there should be disclosure. And if there were, you're saying that these institutions like super PACs and 527s, these are the results of attempts to prevent people from just being able to give as much money as they want to.
Well, it's exactly what's happened with under McCain-Feingold, where people are limited to $2,500. And so I would say that anybody could give whatever amount they want directly to the candidate, fully disclosed, period. Then you don't have all the legal hoops you have to jump through. You know, it's a nightmare to figuring out, you know, who can I say to what? And every time I want to call somebody, I have to call up my lawyer and I say, you know, can I say this and say that? Because as you know, the super PACs and the candidates' campaigns have to be completely at arm's length.
Well, let me ask you about the arm's length that's required between the super PACs and the candidates. I've heard critics of the super PACs say that, the activists at, say, the Red, White, and Blue Fund that you've been involved with can't talk to the Santorum campaign. But you can look at his schedule and see where he'll be in Florida on which day and decide whether to buy advertising time in Miami or in Orlando, when to do it. You can hear what he's saying and in speeches and figure out what arguments to amplify in advertising. The argument is it's arm's length, but it's a very short arm.
Well, I don't know what you're suggesting you do about that.
I guess your solution to that is just let me give to the campaign, change the law so I can give directly to the campaign.
Yeah, well, that'd be very straightforward, and everybody would be on the same page. There'd not be any of this comment, well, I can't control my super PAC. You'd get rid of all that back and forth, and it'd be very straightforward, clean, and honest.
Well, Foster Freeze, Mr. Freeze, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Bye-bye, Robert.
Billionaire Foster Freeze is the main benefactor of a super PAC that supports Rick Santorum.